Salam dear listeners and welcome back to the studios of Radio Sai to continue our Thursday live programs. The lovely Thursday continues, and like it happens on every Thursday in the Sanctum Sanctorum of Prashanthi Nilayam, today reverberated the divine voice of Bhagwan. You heard Bhagwan singing Shama Sundara Madana Mohana, Shama Sundara Madana Mohana. So beautiful when you listen to Bhagwan. So amazing when we think about this gift of bhajan singing that he has offered to us. How we forget all our worries. How for those half an hour, those 30 minutes, 45 minutes, we are so much away from all that, that worries us throughout the day, and how much we feel so much at peace, so much elevated after the bhajan session. It is something that can never be scientifically explained. It is something that only can be experienced. It can be experienced only in the heart, only in the peace that the soul experiences and the calmness that the heart feels and the stillness of the mind, which is so essential, which is so relaxing and so regenerating. Let us offer our gratitude to Bhagwan for having blessed us with this boon of bhajan singing. And let us make every opportunity to make best use of this medium to connect to him. We have the program Radio Sai Bhajan Classroom only to help us in this endeavor. And like we do on every Thursday, let's move on. Let us pray to him and let us begin to learn how to make use of yet another bhajan and offer our love to the Lord in the form of soulful music. Let us begin with a prayer. Let us offer our most prayerful and grateful salutations at the lotus feet of the most merciful Divine Mother. Dearest Lord, please bless us so that we may structure our lives in such a manner that we too, like you, live every moment of our lives, thinking of the other, always believing that we exist not for ourselves alone, but for everyone around. With this prayer, let's move on and welcome to a fresh episode of Radio Sai Bhajan Classroom. Today we learn a Sanskrit bhajan, and the first line of this bhajan goes like this.
Aravindalochana Arthajanavana.
So that's the bhajan we will be learning now, and like always we begin becoming familiar with the lyrics of the bhajan, and then we'll move on to the tala, the raga, and discuss about how to cultivate bhava or feeling when we sing this bhajan. We will have a conversation with Brother Balram Chandran, a former student of Bhagwan's University and a member of the Prashanti Mandir Bhajan Group. And after this, we will listen to the complete version of this bhajan as it is sung by the students of Bhagwan in Prashanti Nilayam Mandir.
Aravinda Lochana Artha Janavana Sai Narayana Satya Narayana. Aravind Lochana Artha Janavana Ishwaramba Nandana Dosha Nivarana Parama Niranjana He Shubhanana.
Now that we know the lyrics, let's move on to learning how to sing this bhajan. You will first hear Brother Ravi Kumar sing every line without any musical accompaniments. Then you will hear Brother Anirudh follow Ravi Kumar after every line. And when he does that, you too, dear listeners, please join Anirudh.
This bhajan is being sung in the scale F Pancham.
Aravindalochan Arthajanavana, Aravindalochan Arthajanavana,
Aravindalochan Arthajanavana,
Aravindalochan Arthajanavana.
Sai Narayana Satya Narayana,
Sai Narayana Satya Narayana,
Sai Narayana Satya Narayana,
Sai Narayana Satya Narayana,
Aravindalochan Arthajanavana,
Aravindalochan Arthajanavana.
Ishwarambanandana Doshanivarana,
Ishwarambanandana Doshanivarana,
Ishwarambanandana Doshanivarana,
Ishwarambanandana Doshanivarana,
Paramanirandana He Shubhanana,
Paramanirandana He Shubhanana,
Paramanirandana He Shubhanana,
Paramanirandana He Shubhanana.
Aravindalochana Arthajanavana.
So that is the soft lilting tune of this beautiful bhajan. Brother Ravi Kumar and Anirudh gave us a feel of it, and now Anirudh is here with us in the studios to tell us more about the composition. Saram Anirudh.
Saram Vishu.
So tell us, what is the raga behind this bhajan?
It's a very melodious tune. And this, I can say that this bhajan may not belong to a particular raga as such, whereas it contains so many notes, so you can take from, the notes are contained from many ragas, like the notes are from Darbari little bit, and then you have a deviation from Darbari where you have Komal, Shuddha, and adding a lot of flavor. So I'll just show you the part where there are deviations, and it's a beautiful tune, just not necessarily in a particular raga.
Sarigama padha ni sarigama magari sa.
This is a basic structure of the notes which follow through the entire bhajan, which is there in Darbari raga, and you can take Sindhubhairavi. It is there in many ragas, but the way it is used and the approach and the phrases matters, and it differs from each raga. Whereas in this bhajan, it's more related to Darbari phrases.
sa re ga
ri shuddh. Ga is komal.
Ma pa dha.
Dha is komal.
Ni.
Ni is komal ni. In this version, the first line itself.
Aravinda lochana artaja ni sa.
It's a small deviation. It gives a lot of beauty and color to the composition. It is shuddhni.
Yes.
When we do the swaras, definitely you will appreciate it more. And also you have, second deviation is like you have a usage of both the dhas, the shuddha and the komalda. The shuddha is
dhani sada.
The first one was shuddha and the second one was komalda.
Dha.
So this also gives a different feel to the entire bhajan. So you have in the line,
Ishwaram Vanandana.
So it's all related to the Shuddhadas. And when you come to
Doshanivarana Padasada,
it is Komalda.
Oh, beautiful.
So it is beautifully composed and the tune is very, very melodious. And I'm imagining in the whole symphony, in the violins, the tune is being, if the tune is being played in that symphony, it will sound very, very beautiful, very melodious tune.
Amazing.
And you have many bhajans, like which, it just came to my mind when I was singing the swaras, like,
Bhagata Vatsala Tero Naam O Sai.
It also has the same start.
Re ga re sadani Aravinda Lochana.
Similar versions.
Gokulanandana Shama Murari.
It also has the same flavor. And you have the play of Buddha Dhas also in these versions.
Yes.
Brahmandanayaka Baba Paritipurishwara Baba.
In this version also you have
Ayodhya Nagari Tumne Banai Dwarka Nagari Dha Tumne Banai Dhapa.
Amazing. I think we will appreciate the play of the Dhas and the interesting deviations of Darbari as we see the swaras for every line.
Yeah, it's a very simple four-line bhajan, but the impact, the tune, the lyrics, everything, yes, all set to
a beautiful combination.
Yeah.
And you have Mother Ishwaramma also.
Yeah, it's a unique bhajan on Ishwaramma. We'll do the first line.
Aravinda lochana artha janavana re ga re sa da ni da pa pa da sa ni sa re re ga re sa da ni da pa pa da sa ni sa re sai narayana satya narayana papa ma padha dada maga ma pa 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 papa ma padha dada maga ma pa pa pa.
Again we come back to the first line.
Aravinda lochana artha janavana re ga re sa da ni da pa pa da sa ni sa re re ga re sa da ni da pa pa da sa ni sa re Ishwarambanandana Doshanivarana Nini Nidhani Dhani Padasadani Dhapa Nini Nidhani Dhani Padasadani Dhapa. निरंजन हे शोभानन द द द प ध प ध म ग म प प प द द द प ध प ध म ग म प प प
A short and melodious bhajan with the swaras. As you listen with the swaras, you love the melody and the way it flows technically too.
Yeah.
So shall we do the beat?
Yeah, the beat of this bhajan is 8 beat and it is a medium paced bhajan. The count is 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4, 1.
अरविंद लोचन आत जनावन
अरविंद लोचन आत जनावन
साई नारायण सत्य नारायण
साई नारायण सत्य नारायण
Beautiful. Thank you very much, Arvind Sai and Anirudh.
Thank you, Vishu.
Thank you, Vishu. Sai Ram.
Sai Ram.
So with the raga and tala done, let's move on to understanding what this bhajan conveys. And different people relate to the divine in different ways. And today, we will listen to how Brother Balram Chandran relates to Swami through this bhajan.
Sai Ram, Brother Balram Chandran, and welcome to the studios of Radio Sai and to Bhajan Classroom.
Sai Ram, Brother.
You are someone who has had the opportunity to sing in the divine physical presence all through your student days for 5 years. And even after that, you continue to sing whenever you are here in Prashantinilam and regularly in Sundaram, Bhagwan's abode in Chennai. And you will only agree with me when I say that the way we are able to connect with Swami through bhajans is something that cannot be done through anything else.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And each bhajan is unique, isn't it?
Each
it is. Bhajan helps us to relate to Him in one very special way.
Correct.
So if you can just dwell on this bhajan, Aravinda Lochana,
yeah,
and share what thoughts flood your mind. How do you relate to Swami when you sing this bhajan? And how this bhajan helps you to build that relationship with Him, take it to a new level?
Yes, brother. One of those, yes, of the huge collection of beautiful bhajans that we have, this is definitely one of those bhajans. Whenever I think about this bhajan, one thing which strikes me, there are 2 points, but the first point is that if you notice, this bhajan is entirely about one specific part of Swami's body, and that's His face.
Mm-hmm.
So it's the first thing when I was contemplating on this bhajan. There's the first thing which kind of strikes me, because if you see, Aravinda Lochana Artha Janavana Sai Narayana Satyanarayana Ishwarambanandana Dosha Nivarana. And when I discuss this further, when I share my thoughts further, even that Dosha Nivarana to me is related only to His face again. And Paramani Ranjana, Heshubanana. Anana is again the face. Mm-hmm. So if you see, it's the face, the eye. So somehow it's, you know, the moment this, I contemplate on this bhajan, the first thing is, you know, those photos of Swami with Swami looking at a side glance, and then, you know, only the face of Swami. The one, you know, this morning when Sai Kulwanthal, when we were given those photographs, beautiful photographs, which, you know, had that with Swami's face only, and He glancing sideways. Okay. So that's the picture which comes to mind.
Profile
that
picture.
Profile that comes to mind immediately. So you know, whenever I think of this particular bhajan, Aravinda Lochana Artha Janavana. Now, first to speak about this bhajan, if you see the first word Aravinda Lochana, it talks about Swami being the lotus-eyed one.
Yeah.
Now, this is one interesting thought which keeps, you know, kind of popping to your mind. And brother, it will be interesting to know what your thoughts also on this is. See, when you talk of lotus and compare it to parts of, you know, Swami, one common usage is lotus eye. And then you say lotus feet. You don't say lotus hand. I mean, very rare. It's generally lotus eye, lotus feet. I mean, I don't know what your view is. I'll tell you what I have in mind. But, I mean, so what does lotus feet mean for you, lotus eye mean for you?
Well, one thing that Bhagwan himself has said is the importance the lotus has.
Yeah.
Why is it so special? In fact, there are two things that come to my mind. One is, in our 12th class interview, I remember Swami asked any questions.
Mm-hmm.
And I asked Swami, why is it that there is this lotus on the top of all our buildings?
Okay.
In our hostel, you have a series of lotus.
Yes.
You have in the institute, you take any Swami's building, you have lotus in an array.
Correct.
And out of curiosity, I just asked Swami, why is it so?
Hmm.
And Swami said, that is because the lotus has this property of keeping away the evil, keeping away that which is unpleasant, drawing the pleasant, drawing the good. So I have kept the lotuses to protect you, to preserve the auspiciousness of the place.
Of the place.
That was one. The second thing which Bhagwan has mentioned in discourses is the special quality of the lotus flower.
Yeah.
Where if anything falls on the lotus, if a drop of water were to fall on the lotus, it just slips away. It just slips away.
That's true.
So, even though the lotus is born out of mud, born out of slush, but nothing ever sticks to it.
Absolutely.
So, it is born on earth, born in this world, but it is above the world. So, Swami said, when the avatar also comes, he takes a form which is an earthly form. So, in that sense, he is made of earth.
Yeah.
But he is beyond.
Absolutely.
Nothing ever sticks to him. He is beyond what he seems to be made of.
And that is
the reason why Swami said that, you know, every limb of the avatar is always described as lotus, because he is from it, but he is beyond it. Nothing ever will stick to it.
No, absolutely. So true. I think in Satyam Shivam Sundaram, I think Kasturi sir also talks about, when he talks about Swami's birth, I think he says that, you know, an avatar residing in the womb of the mother is like, he compares it to the moon which resides in the sky. The moon resides in the sky, but does not draw sustenance from the sky.
Yes.
So, you know, something very similar, I guess. So, a good point that you made, because I think, that's kind of confirmed the thoughts which I also, you know, are running in my mind. If it's come from Swami, then it's 100% confirmation. When I keep thinking of lotus, I always wondered lotus feet, lotus eye, what it could mean. Now, what I have always felt is, when you talk of a lotus girl, two things. One is, of course, the color. Okay. Now, when you say lotus feet, lotus eyes. Now, I think when you're saying lotus eyes, you're not actually referring to the color, because red-colored eyes, is conjunctivitis. So, you know, red-colored eyes doesn't seem appropriate. So, I don't think there we are talking about the color. But if you say lotus feet, I think it's a lot to do with the, you know, the color. Because, you know, the feet are rosy kind of feet. So, that's when, if you look at it from a very physical kind of, meaning. So, in lotus feet, I think we are talking about the color. Definitely not the shape. Because I think if you had feet which look like lotus, it would look very, very odd. So, I guess we are talking about the color there. Color of the lotus. But I think when you talk of lotus eyes, you're talking about the shape of, if you pick one petal of the lotus.
Yes.
Because I realize this, because Sundaram, one of the duties which I get is actually to, you know, we have this lotus offering which we do. So, one of the easiest things which I know to do is the lotus comes as a, you know, kind of bud, and you have to kind of open it up and then place it before Swami. So that's when I got my first opportunity to observe the lotus very, very closely. So if you look at each individual petal, I think it looks like a beautiful eye.
Yes.
So I think Aravinda Lochana, so I mean somehow you look at the eye, I think you're talking about beautiful eyes. But here, generally, what I said is is the general sense when you talk about the eye, you're talking about lotus only with respect to its shape. But I think here, it's kind of different in this bhajan. And that's why for me, in this bhajan, the word Aravinda is very special in terms of how it's used here. And it very closely correlates, brother, with what you just mentioned. Because if you read the first the first part of the line and the second part together. Aravinda Lochana, Artha Janavana. Now, if you look at Artha, for instance, you know, the four kinds of devotees which they talk about, the Artha, the Artharthi, the Jijnyasu, the Jnani. So, if you look up I mean, my own limited understanding of the artha. Artha is a person, you know, who is suffering from something and who's come for relief from the suffering. Artharthi, of course, is somebody who's looking for wealth and he realizes God is somebody who can help him with that. But artha is somebody who is suffering and then he comes. Now, artha janavana, you know, the protector of the artha who comes to the rescue of the artha, and Aravinda Lochana. So, necessary, there has to be some connection between the two. So, when I was contemplating on this bhajan, or when I contemplate on this bhajan, one thing which, you know, easily comes to mind is, I think the reason why we are saying Aravinda Lochana Artha Janavana is when Artha comes to our Swami and he is coming for relief. Now the reason could be anything. It could be karmic. Okay. Or it could be a case where, you know, he is due to some past karma, you talk about your, you know, prarabdha karma or whatever, you are impure or whatever, you are suffering. But I think one most beautiful thing about Swami is because he is Aravinda Lochana, like you said, you talked about why Swami has put those, you know, lotuses in the hostel. So he's capable of only taking the good. No, the bad thing doesn't stay only on him. So it's as though, no, when he's going through darshan and he's glancing at all the devotees sitting there, it's just that he cannot see that impurity. He's incapable of seeing impurity. And that's why Aravinda Lochana is very special here. He has to have.
Wow.
We are lucky he has Aravinda Lochana. Otherwise, what would we do?
His lotus eyes, because he can see only
the good. Because pankajam, as it, like you rightly said, pankam, it comes from that, from dirt. But then, you know, it doesn't draw sustenance from there. It rises above that.
Yes.
And I think Swami rises above that so beautifully. He cannot see, you know, any ill. That is very important for an artha. Because if the artha had a condition that to be saved, he has to have ABCD, then I would have continued to be and would be a chronic artha case all throughout the life. Yes. But I think, that's why I think Aravinda Lochana Artha Janavana is beautiful. Because it's very hope giving, the first line for me. Because when you say Aravinda Lochana Artha Janavana, now you know, as an artha, you feel very, and I'm one big artha, feel very, very, very comfortable, because you know that your Lord is somebody who's Aravinda Lochana. And Aravinda Lochana,
see, only that is good in you.
Exactly. So, like Swami says, if you need me, you deserve me. I mean, know the qualification. I mean, beautiful.
Yes.
So, I think that's why the Lord, that's why it's so special. Aravinda Lochana is, I think, very, very special that way. Aravinda Lochana, Artha Janavana. And, in fact, if you see, then of course, you refer to Swami by his various names. Even the other part, if you see, Ishwaramba Nandana Dosha Nivarana. Now, it's, I think, very special, brother, because, in fact, when you talk of doshas, no? Doshas in the part of the country I come from, or I've lived all through as Kerala. You talk of, no, there people talk of, you know, horoscope, the doshas caused because of the planetary positions in your horoscope. Navagraha doshas, they say. Or they talk of sarpa dosha. You know, dosha nivarana. And somehow he, just by his glance, no, he kind of removes those doshas.
Yes.
In fact, when I was actually thinking about this, two things kind of just came to my mind. One was, I just remembered, I'm sure you must have also read this or come across this in the Loving God, Kasturi Sir's autobiography, where, you know, those were the days when Swami used to, you know, when somebody comes wearing a big stone ring, Swami would, you know, ask him, why are you carrying heavy stone? Nobody's paying you labor charges for it. And, you know, Swami would kind of take the stone and then, you know, change it to something which is own.
Yes.
So I believe Kasturi sir wanted something like that. He got one big one and then he would, you know, prominently display it so that Swami would see it. And Swami refused to see it
Yes.
for a long time. And one day, I believe Swami asked for it.
Yes.
And then Swami took it. And then the entire ring went away. So he lost his diamond and didn't get Swami's photo. And Swami said, I know you want. And he had purposely chosen a big stone
Yes.
because a big Swami photo would come out of it. So he said, you want to, you know, publicize to the whole world, you're a big Sai devotee. And of course, I think the story goes on to say that he created a, you know, the nine diamond
Yes.
ring, which is actually, and Swami says something very significant there,
Yes.
if you see.
Yes.
He says that this is supposed to, you know, get you the favorable influences of the planetary deities, the nine planetary deities, and remove all doshas which are caused because of planetary position. And I think in that occasion, Swami said that a day will come when you will realize that my anugraha will remove the doshas caused by all navagrahas. But till such time, you know, have this as a protection. So when I was contemplating on Ishwarambanandana Dosha Nivarana, that's one thing which came to mind immediately. Because, you know, I think just by the glance of his eyes, he removes. In fact, you know, we talk about the Trinity in Carnatic music. You talk of Tyagaraja. The other two, of course, are Shama Shastri Kalmuthu Swami Dikshitar. In fact, in one of the compositions written by the other Trinity, not Tyagaraja, there's a very beautiful song which goes like this. The part of the stanza is, Ravi Shashi Kocha Buddha Guru Shuk ಕೃಷ್ಣೇಶ್ವರ ರಾಹು ಕೇತು ನೇತಾರಂ ರಾಜಕುಮಾರಂ ರಾಮಂ. ಸೊ ಇಟ್ಸ್ ಅ ಸಾಂಗ್ ಆನ್ ರಾಮ. ಭಜರೇ ಮಾನಸ ಶ್ರೀರಘುವೀರಂ ಭಜರೇ ಮಾನಸ ದರಿಸ ರವಿ ಶಶಿ ಕುಚ ಬುಧ ಗುರು ಶುಕ್ರ ಶನೀಶ್ವರ ರಾಹು ಕೇತು ನೇತಾರಂ. He's a master of all this. Wow. Rajakumaram Ramam. So I think Sai Rama is exactly that. Because if you see this, he, I think just by a glance, he can actually, you know, remove this. The other thing which comes to my mind is, in fact, this was a very beautiful anecdote, which was narrated by, you know, one of those old-time devotees, senior devotees in Chennai, based out of Chennai. He was one of the, you know, ex-state president of the Sri Sathya Sai organization. And you would know him, with the TGK uncle, if you know, yes. Mr. TG Krishnamurthy. He narrated this to us because we had a lot of opportunity to interact with him. You know, when we would, those drama practices, when we were part of those dramas which we put up as part of the youth group there. And he would direct those dramas. So, in the course of the discussions, he was mentioning something interesting. I believe, you know, he is an authority on Bhagavatam, in fact.
Yes.
So, he got an opportunity to speak in presence of Swami, and he was narrating the Putana episode, you know, when Putana comes to kill Krishna. So, I believe the original Bhagavata version of Vyasa's Bhagavata version was, and this was being narrated in Swami's presence. So, Sri Krishnamurti was describing this episode and was saying that when Putana came in, Krishna, I believe, had his eyes closed. Mm-hmm. The baby Krishna had his eyes closed. And I believe Vyasa has described the reason for him closing the eyes is this, because, you know, I mean, as I'm sure you know, the Swami has also mentioned this, Putana was actually in one of her previous births the daughter of Mahabali.
Yes.
And I believe when she saw Mahabali, the Vamana, the small child, come, she felt a great maternal affection towards him. Yes. But later, you know, when Bali was sent to the netherworld, then she felt like, you know, felt rage and even wanted to kill him. So she had this conflicting emotion. So she had to, you know, somehow be like a mother to the Lord when he was born again as Krishna. At the same time, you know, he had to be killed by, you know, the Vada, killed by him, because ultimately he was, she had that feeling, that rage also. So, I believe Vyasa describes it this way, that Krishna was closing his eyes and thinking that, okay, on one side she was very affectionate towards me. On the other side she had rage. So how do I, you know, I have to now, you know, ensure that I kill her. But how do I do it? What method do I use? Because she had these feelings. I believe Krishna was contemplating on which method should I use, and that's why baby Krishna closed his eyes. Now this is what Sri Krishnamurti, I believe, was narrating in Swami's presence. And Swami said, stop. Swami said that, how are you saying that Krishna closed his eyes for this reason? So, I believe Krishnamurti said that Swami, it's written in Bhagavata, Vyasa's Bhagavata. And I believe Swami asked, how does Vyasa know? Has he gone and seen? Not only Swami can answer this question. So, he said, now what do you answer if Swami asks this? And then, I believe Swami gave an explanation. Swami said, see, that was not the reason. And then Swami started speaking I. He no longer said Krishna. Hmm. So, I believe Swami started saying that, see, what happened is when Putana came, I was closing my eyes. Why? Because if I had just glanced at her, all her sins are gone.
Oh.
So where is the question of me, you know, killing her after that? Where is the question of the Vada after that? But it was necessary for the purpose of the avatar to do that. Now if I just glance at her, I'm going to destroy all those sins in one go. And that is why I closed my eyes, is what Swami told him. So, Ishwarambanandana dosha nivarana. So, you know, with a glance of his eyes, he can actually, destroy heaps and heaps of, you know, papam. So, that's why dosha nivarana and one, and that's why I said this is also about the face, if you see. It's about the face, it's about Swami's eye. That's the most beautiful aspect of this bhajan. It's completely about the face. For some reason, it's got composed that way, starting from start to end. The other thing which comes to my mind is when you say Ishwarambanandana, and of course you come to dosha nivarana. Now this Ishwarambanandana dosha nivarana is a special combination, because the samiti where I had this wonderful opportunity, it was the first time coming to Swami's fold and hear bhajan for the first time, this place called Trichur in Kerala. So first time, you know, walked in, I met some lot of devotees who, you know, had fantastic experiences. They experienced Swami, and you know, Swami spoken to them, given them interviews. They had fascinating experiences. Some of them actually, Swami actually shown, climbed up the stairs, shown himself as Vishnu while he's on one step. The next step, he's shown himself as Shiva. Now, these are devotees of that cater. Okay. So, one of those devotees, I still remember, it was a casual statement made, but as a child, it kind of immediately registered in my mind. One of those devotees was actually sharing that he and a lot of other devotees who went along, in those days used to come along with him to Puttaparthi, used to have a very special experience. Now, they would come to Parthi, and those days, you know, brother, almost a lot of devotees would end up getting interviews. You know, Swami would end up speaking. The Korike room, as they would call him, they would get called there. Now, so not getting an interview was a rarity. No, it's a real, real, real exception case. Now, I believe that when the crowds built up and some of them did not start getting, I believe that they used to use a method which, according to this senior devotee, used to always work for him. And used to, in fact, there were other people also whom he used to recommend it to, and it worked for them also, according to him. This method was very simple. That those were days when Mother Ishwarama was there. You know, she was alive. So I believe what they would do is, they would come for darshan. Okay, Swami is not looking at them. Swami is not speaking. I believe they would go to Mother Ishwarama and offer, you know, their respects to her. And I believe typically Ishwarama would ask, did Swami speak to you? And they would say no. And this senior devotee says that the instant reaction of Ishwarama was, she would actually, you know, kind of pull a breath in, you know, in an expression of shock, saying, you didn't get an interview. She would do that. And I believe, typically the experience is, that day evening you come for darshan, Swami will come and say, po. So, somehow this Ishwarambanandana dosha nivaran is a very special combination for me. When I think about that, I'm reminded about this. So special, because, you know, this morning also we heard Swami talking about how the promise he gave to Ishwaramma that Parthi will be his. I think, that's why even the Suprapadam, I always wonder why the fathers are always left out. Ishwaramba Suta Shriman, Kausalya Suprajarama. But I know, all of them are so fond of their mothers. But, yes, I'm saying, Ishwarambanandana Dosha Nivaran is very special. And of course, we know that Swami is, that way is, you know, unattached and, you know, beyond any, but I think, yes, I think that's the kind of respect, of, you know, he gives to the mother. He sets an ideal. So that is a special combination. Ishwarambana, because it seems to me that at the, you know, Ishwarambana, you know, expressed a shock.
Even to reach God. Through the mother.
Exactly. And you know, because, you know, the mother's heart is pained.
Yes.
And that becomes a kind of, you know, she has, you know, interceded on your behalf.
I remember, when I joined here, or when I was preparing for the entrance exams and praying to join the college, I used to always tell my mother to pray, because someone said that God never puts down a mother's prayer. Prayer you may not answer, but he will always keep up a mother's prayer.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
And it is true for the avatar too.
Mother
and goes and prays to the avatar, you know, do something for someone.
Absolutely. In fact, while you're saying this, very true. In fact, to further build on that theory, that's the hypothesis you have now proposed. In fact, let me give you further supporting evidence. If you see the life of Bhadrachala Ramadas also, you know, he's in jail for a long time. He prays and he tries everything and doesn't work. In fact, even now if you go to Golconda, you can actually see the Rama and Hanuman, which is actually carved onto the stone.
Mm-hmm.
And because inside the jail, you wouldn't have idols. So it actually used the stone, you know, to kind of create stone reliefs of Rama and Hanuman, etc. on the walls of the prison which he was. Because it was a granary converted into a prison. In Golconda, you can still see that. You can actually go up and see what he has created. Nothing worked for him. And finally, if you see, there's a kriti which he has sung, which actually, the traditional tune is different, but I've heard a different tune which is very pleasing. It goes like this. It goes like, Nanu bruvamani cheppave sitamma talli, Nanu bruvamani cheppave, Nanu bruvamani cheppu Nari Shiromani Janakuni Kutula Janakri Janakamma Nanu Brovamani Cheppave Sitamma Talli Nanu Brovamani Cheppave. That prayer is actually addressed to Mother Sita. And he says, O Mother Sita, please ask the Lord to protect me. Same root. Ishwarambanandana dosha nivarana. That's the mother, is also mother. Of course, here he was referring to his mother.
Yes.
And there, you go and talk to Swami's mother. Ishwarambanandana dosha nivarana. And I think that is a sure shot root. Absolutely right.
Wow.
I've seen it, of course, in my own life. I know of cases where there was one day when my brother, who studied here in Swami's school, so there's some reason why my mother was very upset, that he was also very, very upset. That for some reason he was very, very upset when he was studying here in Swami's school. He was not getting opportunities to sing in front of Swami. I remember my mother was very upset, and we were, you know, we had come here for Onam and we were traveling back. We were on the railway station in Bangalore, and she was incessantly praying all throughout. The same evening, Swami calls my brother, speaks to him, gives him a ring.
Oh, wow.
So I think that theory is 100% true. So, you know, the other thing which comes to my mind is Ishwaramba Nandana Dosha Nivarana. So I think, you know, Swami is that, you know, Shiva and the Chakti, but I know the compassion in his eyes, I believe, comes from that mother kind of thing, okay? Ishwaramba Nandana Dosha Nivarana is a very special combination.
And Sai Narayana Satya Narayana, Swami in his childhood was given those names.
Exactly.
You know,
exactly.
When he was being regarded as the son of Ishwaramba, as the little one, you
absolutely
had him called as Satya Narayana.
Yes, and if you see the last one also, Paramaniranjana He Shubhanana. Again, you're ending with the face.
Yes.
So I think it's a beautiful bhajan, brother, for us.
Paramaniranjana.
Paramaniranjana.
Niranjana means one who is blemishless.
He's blemishless, absolutely. Paramaniranjana. And, you know, I think that's why, because Swami says that what you see in the form of blemishes in others is actually your own blemishes. Yes. Now, going by his own theory, he is blemishless, and hence he becomes Arvindalochana.
Wow.
Because, you know, he cannot see. Because he is blemishless, he is incapable of... That's one thing. Finally, we found something which God is incapable of. And that is, you know, not being able to see ill in others. So, putting, like you beautifully put it, because he is Paramaniranjana, he is Aravindalochana. And because he is Aravindalochana, he automatically becomes Dosha Nivarana. And the fact that he is Ishwaramba Nandaraj, I think, just makes it even easier.
Wow. Amazing. I think we can go on for hours just taking these 2-3 lines.
Absolutely.
Because... When you think about it, how much is packed in a bhajan, isn't it?
Very true. Very true.
And every devotee, I think, should do this exercise. Once you do it, you will really fall in love with this.
Absolutely.
Or rather, rise in love with this.
Absolutely. And I think to contemplate on Swami's face, beautiful bhajan.
Absolutely. And I hope next time we have one more bhajan, we will probably encounter the same words. But these same words would give us a new, completely new meaning, just because it's put in a new context.
No, I'm sure. Yeah, each bhajan has its value. I think in the case of this bhajan, literally and figuratively, it is face value.
Wonderful. Thank you very much, brother.
Right, brother. Sai Ram.
Sai Ram.
So that was Brother Balram Chandran, a former student of Bhagwan's university and someone who sang in the divine presence of Bhagwan during his graduation and post-graduation days in the 90s. And now in the last part of this program, let's listen to the complete version of this bhajan as it is sung by the students of Bhagwan's university in the Sanctum Sanctorum of Prashantinilayam.
Aravindalochana Artajanavana Sai Narayana Satya Narayana Sai Narayana Satya Narayana Artajanavana Ishwaramba Nandana Dosha Nivarana Ishwaramba Nandana Dosha Nivarana Sajanavana Sai Narayana Satya Narayana Aravinda Lochana Artajanavana
With this, we come to the end of this episode of Radio Sai Bhajan Classroom. We hope you liked this episode. If you have any queries or comments, please feel free to write to us. As always, you can write to listener@radiosai.org. The audio engineers for this program are Sunil and Abhishek. The background score was done by another alumnus from Chennai, T.S. Ramakrishnan. With heart full of gratitude, we offer this endeavor at the lotus feet of our most beloved Bhagwan. So with that, we come to the end of the current session of Radio Sai Bhajan Classroom and this segment on the series of programs on Thursday. Coming up next is Radio Sai Children's Hour. My colleagues Prem and Ganesh will bring you Bhagwan's snippets and beautiful stories about how to lead a beautiful life. I will be back after Radio Sai Children's Hour for a fresh episode of Outside Inside, Deep Inside. And today we will dwell a little on the life of Madhureshwar Amma. And then we will listen to a conversation with Mr. K. Chakravarti, trustee, Sri Satisai Central Trust, where he shares how the mission that Bhagwan started almost 4 or 5 decades ago with the prayer of the mother continues so gloriously, as well as taking on new dimensions. We will listen to a part of this conversation with Mr. Chakravarti and we'll continue it in the future episodes of Outside, Inside, Deep Inside. So coming up is this insightful conversation and some reflections on yesterday's program, the program on Madhureshwar Amma. For the moment, Radio Sai, Children's Hour. Keep listening. Thank you so much. Sadam.